Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is January 11th, 2019, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined by two lovely guests today. One, Nicole Thomas, all the way from Hotlanta, as I always say.
Coatlanta.
Vice President of Information Services, and none other than Craig Ruffalo, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle. Hello, guys.
Hey, happy Friday, hey. Nicole and Mike and everyone out there.
How's it going?
Oh, my gosh. Things are good. It's a good start to 2019. I'm really loving reading all the government reports that are coming out.
I was going to say, it's a good start to the year, depending on where you work, apparently.
There you go.
For us, yes. For others, not so much.
Yeah, no, our hearts go out to them, and hopefully our president can come to some resolution and get the government back up and running. I think that would be good for everybody.
There you go.
So hopefully we're close to that, but because we aren't right now, we have no WASDE today.
All right.
Which, okay.
Yeah.
You know.
That's all right.
Our listeners, we can handle this. We can manage this.
Yeah, let us.
And for our subscribers, we did send out a little recap this morning, Sweet Beat recap. So take a look at that. But we thought today we would talk a little bit about fundamentals, what we see going on for both corn and sugar, and give our listeners a perspective on that and kind of go through it despite not having a government report.
That's all right.
Right?
We'll get it. We'll get it to them.
We'll
but first and foremost, I've already lost the NFL thing. The Seahawks are out.
Oh.
I'm going to bring it up before you two bring it up.
I wasn't going to say anything. I don't have any skin in the game right now either. So what can I say?
Yeah, no, I'm fighting for the first pick of the draft, I think.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, any kicker that can't do an onside kick in the NFL is just cracking me up.
You did take the guy from our team, and he pulls a hamstring trying to.
Well, he's 50.
I know.
No, he is. He's up there.
Yeah.
Kicker
anyway, it should be a fun weekend.
Yeah.
And, Philip Rivers, I love Philip Rivers, and it's probably his year, and hopefully it is. And sorry for all the Patriots fans out there, but hey, give it to the Chargers once.
Yeah.
Rams are going to be tough.
Yeah. Saints are going to be tough at home, man. They don't lose playoff games at home. So I would not be betting against the Saints right now. And they have home field if they win out all the way to the Super Bowl. So.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'll tell you what. We should all go buy a brand new TV right now.
Ooh.
Set it up tomorrow morning and watch football all weekend.
Hey, I'm in.
That's a great idea.
Can you tell my wife that's
I'll text her.
Thank you very much.
All right, guys. Well, let's get started.
Let's do it.
We'll start with Nicole. Go ahead and Nicole, talk to us a little bit about corn. What's going on?
Well, it's a interesting market with very little information for the market to operate off of, other than kind of seeing things as they were off of the last WASDE report in December. Looking at the futures market, not much going on there either. Definitely seeing a consolidation pattern taking place as the market looks for something to kind of break us out of this range of about 7 to 10 cents we've been trading here for a while now. And looking at, what we would have seen out of WASDE, one of the big questions had been what the final number would come in terms of planted acreage and yields. Both of which the market's sort of the sentiment that those are going to come down a little bit. Nothing too dramatic. I think when we're all said and done, we're still somewhere between about 14.3 and 14.5 billion bushels of production, which under most circumstances would be a pretty good crop. I think the other thing folks were very interested in seeing, and unfortunately won't, but what's going on with the demand picture. And I think overall, there's a few things shaping up. Obviously, want to see what's going on with that export number to make sure that we're hitting along with the projection values are at this point. But also what's going on with ethanol. and how that may play into the feed demand numbers. And I think that's going to be something interesting to watch over the next few months with issues with profitability in ethanol, not a new discussion point, although even the crush, corn crush, fell quite a bit in December. Now, we might see some additional slowdown in production beyond what we've seen for the last couple of weeks of December. So I'm thinking that maybe that had more to do with the holiday and the market, and really want to understand if that's going to continue longer term. And with that, production of some of those co-products, most notably from the dry milling side of things, looking at DDGs. Now, why that could be very relevant to folks that are on corn tolls is looking at the influence of DDG values against those of gluten feed. There is a relationship there. So with some strengthening in gluten and DDG values, you tend to see that pull gluten values up as well, which we've seen a little bit of. Now, if there is indeed a continuation of the slowdown in ethanol production, that could obviously lead to sort of a ceiling on the DDG production, which would be supportive of prices also for gluten feed. So from a co-product credit standpoint, looking pretty good. On the flip side of that, however, is to take into consideration that DDGs can be a substitute in feed rations for the corn piece of that. And if you look at the balance sheet as it was in December, we're looking at pretty strong numbers already for corn usage for feed that arguably were a little higher than we would expect if we maintain sort of that ethanol production that we saw last year, where we actually got some pressure on the corn use number with more of those DDGs going into the feed ration. So I say all that to say that could ultimately play into what we see for ending stocks. My guess, however, is with the values or the projection for corn feed use up there, you know, around 5.5 billion bushels today, that even if we were to see a little less DDG feeding, we wouldn't necessarily see that number go up. It's probably already considered within that number as it stands today. So when it's all said and done, you're looking at ending stock somewhere between 1.7 and 1.8 billion bushels, something that the market's pretty familiar with at this point, and hence why I think we haven't really had anything fresh out there that would take these futures one way or the other.
Excellent. Excellent recap, Nicole.
Yeah.
Now let's shift over to sugar. And Craig, you know, the December WASD for sugar anyway is a pretty important one where Mexico gets guaranteed 80% of the imports in the United States. Typically, the USDA will try to reset the stocks to use ratio at that 13.5%. Yep. So, you know, they did make some adjustments a little lower on the beat and gave Mexico a nice bump.
Yeah,
so January leads into typically a pretty quiet WASD report. What's going on fundamentally in sugar right now?
So I think everybody is taking a big, deep breath after the negotiations for the most part for 19. So we've got most commercial market booked for 2019, and everybody is kind of sitting back waiting for the March 31 planting intentions as to what the beet sugar is going to do. The cane crop has been pretty much harvested now, so we've got pretty good results out of Louisiana and Florida. So crop production-wise, we're probably not going to see any surprises once the Department of Agriculture comes back to work. So ultimately, right now, I think most of the market is kind of looking at what the deliveries number is going to be. So I think the focus is shifting away from the supply side and maybe more towards the demand side for the next 2-3 months. Certainly coming up to the sweetener users colloquium that we're all going to see each other at in February, I think the baseline of the discussion is going to be low inventory carryout for beet sugar post the last crop with a little bit reduction in the production that they're doing for this crop. And therefore, as a result, if they get the deliveries on their contracts, will they maintain the price objectives that they're setting right now? Market expectations is for sugar to be somewhere around the mid-30s, FOB bulk basis going forward. And so as a result, I think you're going to find a lot of activity as far as price discovery going forward in the next few months, but not a whole lot of bookings. And fundamentals, I think the number one thing I'm going to keep harping on is the deliveries for food use. I am not convinced that we're going to see a growth in sugar consumption patterns in the United States.
Well, I think all three of us know that, you know, the food manufacturers have been a lot of talk about sugar reduction still.
Yeah.
So some, you know, that takes time, even though you want to implement it. And, you know, you got product launches, you got to work through packaging, you got to convince marketing, or marketing's got to convince you either way.
Yeah,
right.
You know. So it takes time.
It does.
One question for you, Craig.
Yeah.
You talked about reduction production.
Ooh, which, wow. Look at that word.
I grabbed onto that pretty quick. I don't know, Nicole, if you grabbed onto that.
I did. I heard that.
Production. Yeah. Anyway, so you're hearing about a mild winter in the Red River Valley. That can affect the piles.
Yes, it can.
Of beets.
That's right.
Do you expect, is it too soon to say a reduction of production? Some more next straws.
Deduction function.
No, you're right, Mike. Is it something you got to keep your mind on and keep a watch over? I don't know that we can say right today that it's going to impact the overall beet production any further to this point, because, you know, they do have the sheds up there that can keep some of those beet piles inside and pump cold air towards them. But if you continue this mild weather and the tonnage that they had expected, certainly if you get into the late part of May and you're still slicing beets, that could be a problem.
Sure. Okay, great. Anything else on sugar?
No, I think we got it, man.
All right. So we got corn, we got sugar.
We do.
You know what else we need to do?
You're
talking about the demand side.
Yeah.
That affects consumer trends.
It does.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You know, Nicole,
it's right up there.
Nicole.
Yes.
What would you do if you wanted to learn more about consumer trends for our specific commodities?
You know what? If I were thinking about that and I wanted to get some really good, thorough, in-depth information on how that is affecting markets, and I wanted to do it at a fairly reasonable cost.
Yeah.
I would sign up for McKinney Flavel Spring Seminar.
Oh my God, when is that?
Great idea.
That would be on April 24th.
Where?
In Chicago, specifically Oak Brook, Illinois.
Yeah. How can I register?
You can go to McKinney Flavel's website or reach out to your McKinney Flavel representative, where they would be happy to point you in the right direction to sign up for that awesome seminar.
You can get autographs of your favorite McKinney Flavel expert.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
That will be worth money someday. I promise you.
It will be. You Absolutely. Bet.
Well, you
bet.
Know, every year it grows, which we're very happy about. So seats can be limited because we reserve that large room, and at some point we have to cut it off. So if you're interested, go onto our website, give us a call, and we'll see you there in April.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, everybody, enjoy your weekend.
Yes, sir.
Live with an attitude of gratitude. Wake up and be thankful for what you have.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right. Happy weekend,
Thank
everybody.
Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Craig.
Take My care, pleasure. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye now. That concludes this podcast episode. For more information, visit us on the web at bikini-favel.com. Also, follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter for the latest industry news, updates, and intelligence.